changes that you expect, some of the losses and gains?
Well, the changes will involve, I think, at some point, remote voting, as we trust the system, as we find ways of making sure that the voting citizen at least has the chance of being involved before their vote and make up their own mind. That's one of the losses, that we have citizens voting who are not getting into the issues, not hearing the arguments pro and con.
But why aren't they hearing the arguments if they're sitting at home listening and watching?
The question is whether they are at home listening and watching more than sporadically. That's one of the things that will happen as we go to take that route. I hope that people will still be able to congregate in a place and become the debaters, whether people could vocalize their feelings from remote positions. That's something I hadn't thought about, but there are all sorts of possibilities with our technology that we have. I think the main thing to be protected, in my mind, is the open debate of pros and cons of a given issue. And the ability to have that in a civil fashion. And to have people engaged, which once you move outside of the hall to a town meeting that goes beyond the hall, I'm concerned about people not being engaged.
Is it a diverse representation of people who come to town meeting? Among the 500 or so?
Well, I think you could say that it's not good that the 500 is a constant group. That 500 is bigger than a 50 that we might have as representatives if we had representative town meeting. The 500 are regulars. They are veterans of the process. They've probably been in town a long time. And somehow they have made time for town meeting.
Do they represent that diversity you were discussing at the beginning?
Yes, I think some of the spokesmen, some of the people who speak at town meeting are certainly from a broad diversity of lives. And so that the household is having trouble paying taxes in Concord will have one reason for being against things that are going to increase taxes. And they certainly show up at town meeting. And those who are just interested in town meeting show up for that reason, and who find it exciting and not boring. A lot of people find town meeting very boring, and that's why they'd like to pick the times that they would choose to participate. And they feel disenfranchised because they don't participate and don't have a vote. And the excitement of town meeting comes when you are listening and something comes up that tickles your interests and your preferences as to what Concord is like, and you're stimulated to say something. Since being a selectman, my model of using town meeting for pushing certain values, my model was the first woman selectman in Concord, Anna Mannion. Mannion, M-A-N-I-O-N. She was a stately lady. She was actually one of my advisors when I ran for selectman. And I noticed in early town meetings that I attended, whenever Anna would get up to say something, people listened. And she wouldn't get up very often. So Anna became my model as to how to behave at town meeting. Not very often to say something, but to also say as much as I could of import to the town. At one time, when we changed moderators, and our one moderator was retiring from that job, and we were thinking of another moderator, going to be electing a new moderator, I thought about running for moderator. And fortunately, another former selectman announced before I had a chance. And he became a very good moderator.
You could have still run, I suppose?
I could have. But I also then, about the same time, got appointed by the selectman to be on the housing authority. And that became my cause in town. And so my role in town meeting has been to be a participant and not to be a moderator or an assistant moderator or even count votes, because they have people that count the votes. And I've always felt that I take enough of a position in town meeting that I shouldn't be counting the votes. Although I think I would be trusted to do so, I didn't think it was the right thing for me to do.
So is that the main change, the current change that you think of when you think of current government, the question of whether to do this remote voting, or I guess there's always...
I think that's the most likely change in the future. I think the town will go slowly on that. The other idea for change is to not have town meeting, to have everything decided at the ballot box. And I don't think that's going to happen in Concord, in the very near future, at least. It allows for more stacking of the votes. In my mind, voters that aren't quite as educated but promoted to go to the polls to vote for a certain issue and not hearing what others have to say about it, being one-sided. Concord's town meeting in current times is famous. We are the only town, I believe, in the United States that has banned the sale of single-serving bottled water. That has been challenged 3 times. It still survives, and it's being challenged for a special town meeting coming up in a month. But that's the kind of thing that a lot of people think is not serious enough business for town meeting, but it shows the openness of town meeting to an issue. This, in this case, driven by environmental feelings about the waste of plastic bottles, their long life in the environment, and indeed the amount you pay for a bottle of water compared to the very good water we have in Concord that can be bottled in your own containers. So that's a controversial thing the town meeting has done. It's an example of the kind of thing that our leaders would never come up with, and sometimes to their chagrin would never come up with, because the town has spent a lot of time.
Right in the sky falling.
So more on the bottle bill. Who? So it was not brought up by
by the leaders of the town. It was brought up as a petition article by two people, Jean Hill and Jill Appel, A-P-P-E-L. They have carried most of the water in this case on this one, and many of us have supported that. And that side of the issue is preparing for this new challenge coming up in a month.
What's the challenge, or what? And it's what have they been?
We have a special town meeting to buy some land for use by the town and the schools. And whenever a town meeting comes up, other petition articles can be entered in, so that we have a third article, not having to do with that land acquisition, in which the bottle bill is being challenged.
On what grounds?
The businesses in town clearly have concerns about this, that our citizens will go outside of town to buy their bottled water and not buy it locally. Our parents who run to and fro to get their kids to various soccer matches or basketball games or whatever value the convenience of bottled water.
Single serving
for themselves and their kids. The proponents of the bottle bill have made sure that we have some places to get water around town. I don't know much about that. And I've noticed that our businesses are finding other ways, either giving the bottle free in exchange for a donation, or the bottle plastic used in the bottle is biodegradable. And that means certain plastics that go out in the environment sit there and will degrade in a reasonable amount of time, which the current major plastic being used, I think it's high density polyethylene, takes a long time to degrade.
So some of the businesses have moved to a different kind of plastic water bottle?
Some have, I've noticed that.
Is there a possibility of getting the county commission to do something similar so that people aren't going right outside the town limits? Does that come up?
Our counties in Massachusetts have very little authority. So the state is the main option. We have a state water bill that requires 5-cent deposit on items, and that bounty on bottles is many years old and needs to be updated, because 5 cents is nothing, or 10 cents is nothing. And we only put those bounties on soft drinks. We do not have a bottle bill in the state that requires deposits for energy drinks or bottled water or all the other new creative juices that are being bottled these days. So League of Women Voters and others right now are trying to petition for a referendum in Massachusetts to increase the bounty on bottled water, on bottles, so that the economic value of returning these bottles is greater and the incentive is greater. It has always failed to get through our legislature because of lobbying interests. And so last time our bottle bill was challenged, we had all sorts of flyers and things in the mail sponsored as you, when you get to the bottom of it, by the bottled water companies, trying to get people to vote down this awful precedent that they would hate to see go across the country anywhere. We do know as that certain colleges have banned single-serving bottled water in their vending machines and their cafeterias. So it's not an unknown thing. It's just, it's not typical for a town or a municipality to have done that.
Great.
What else do we need to
ask you
that we haven't covered yet? This has been absolutely fascinating.
Well, one thing I didn't cover, but I guess this is a history of Concord, and it's deserving of cover to be covered, and deserving for the person involved. One of the frequent spokesmen at town meetings about issues that weren't always popular with town government was a lady named Anna Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N. She would dig to the bottom of things and raise questions with town government that many of us would not appreciate. At one point, we had an open position on the Housing Authority. That's an elected office. It's a state office, but Concord citizens elect people. I was elected to the Housing Authority to fill out a term and to serve a full term. We had an open position, and someone in the caucus where we nominate people to be on, to be in offices, to be nominated and elected possibly. Someone elected nominated Anna Thompson for that Housing Authority position. And she was elected, and she served. And as is common with Anna, some people on the authority found it difficult to work with her. And eventually they brought a petition to remove her from the Housing Authority. This is one of the most unpleasant things I've been involved with in Concord. By the great non-wisdom of the state government, they made the selectmen the judges in such things. There was a law that allowed her removal in the state legislation for housing authorities. And it made us poor selectmen the judges. Fortunately, and I was chair for half of that trial of the selectmen, but fortunately we had a town council who was a lawyer, obviously, who guided the Board of Selectmen through this process. We were ill-suited for such a job, and right now in our committee that's studying governance in Concord and our town charter, one of the issues is that Concord voters should have the authority to remove people from office. This has been happening across the country in state offices where new elections are held to remove someone from that office. So our committee right now is dealing with that issue. I think they are leaning towards not having that in our town charter to allow that to happen. I certainly found it to be a terrible trial, not only for us as selectmen, but particularly for Anna, who meant well in her concerns for things in Concord, She was accused of violating an executive session of that board. And as I voted and as I thought, I think she was guilty of that. And we did remove her. But it's a process that I would not wish on anyone else or this town in the future. It's a very divisive process. And we find things that separate us too often anyway. But this one was, in my mind, something we shouldn't do again. But many people think in this day and age that that possibility should be there.
But you disagree?
I disagree.
What do you see as the alternative?
We have elections every few years. And that is the opportunity to for someone to challenge an incumbent. And in that democratic way, to remove someone from office. We have elections every year for a selectman, one or two selectmen every year, one or two school committee members every year, a housing authority member every year. They serve 5 years, but usually there's a housing authority position open. Right now, we elect a moderator for every year. They're reelected every year. So that opportunity is there. And I think the other alternative of petitioning and making an issue the performance of an elected official is, I think, something Concord doesn't need to get into.
But the moderator will serve perhaps do maybe one meeting and maybe some special meetings, and then there's a new one comes in?
No, moderators in Concord typically serve for 5 to 10 years.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They get reelected, and it's usually not a race after the first time. So that that's not a competitive office once we have a moderator in place. And all of our moderators have been quite competent, most of them lawyers. And they've served, I don't think, any longer than 10 years. And we just had a turnover of moderators about 3 years ago.
Was this horrible recalling process more likely to have happened to a woman, do you think, than a man?
No, I don't think so. Thank you for the term recall. I couldn't recall what that word was. It's recall, removal. In this case, it was removal, but I think that's the current interest in the part of some townspeople that we have a recall capability, because we currently have an issue with schools about an issue that divides us, and some people, we had an election last spring in which the people representing the current trend of things were reelected, or new people were elected to serve that idea. And those who wanted to change, and their candidates lost. And so there was the opportunity for recall or change. And the town voted to go with the current way. And that's our democratic process, and I think that's sufficient.
Thank you. Is there more that we should be discussing? I think you did an eloquent job.
Thank you.